Our text today comes from the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We pray. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. And you may be seated. If you were the only person in the world, the first four Beatitudes that we have already gone over would suffice. I mean, you don't need anyone else to experience your own spiritual bankruptcy. You don't need anyone else to mourn over your sinfulness. You don't need anyone else to meekly surrender to God. You have to do that. And you don't need anyone else to be hungry and thirsty on your behalf for righteousness. These first four Beatitudes, in that sense, could be called me-attitudes. Me-attitudes. And the next four that we're going to be discussing could be called we-attitudes. We-attitudes. Because these next four require interaction with other people. Mercy. There's no such thing as being self-merciful. Mercy. Purity or sincerity involves being sincere with others. Pure motives. Peacemaking. Well, hey, it takes two to tangle. Peacemaking requires others. And persecution requires the involvement of others as well. So these next four, out of necessity, are expressed through our involvement with other people. Today we're going to zero in on mercy. Mercy requires action toward other people. Mercy requires action toward other people. Just feeling sorry for others and not doing anything about it, that's not mercy. You know, Jesus didn't say, blessed are the apathetic. You have to do something about it. And I'm sure that the Levite and the priest, you know, as they walked down the road and saw that guy laying in the ditch, I'm sure they, you know, they felt sorry for the guy. But hey, they had places to go, things to do, people to see, laws to obey. And besides, someone else would be along, right, to help this guy in the ditch. And I'm sure Pastor Matz, when he was driving by the guy with the mattress struggling to go up the stairs, felt sorry for him. But he put the blinders on and just kept going because he had places to go, things to do, people to see. You see, there's a huge gap, isn't there, between feeling sorry for someone and actually doing something about it. Well, let's begin, as we usually do with these Beatitudes, by trying to come up with a paraphrase of this verse that would kind of match up with the Greek in the original language. And the paraphrase that I have here is, how fortunate are the actively compassionate? For God is actively compassionate toward them. How fortunate are the actively compassionate, for God is actively compassionate toward them. And it's interesting to note that we have a strikingly similar passage to this found in the Old Testament. It's found in 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. And it's almost like an exact quote. It says, "With the merciful, you show yourself merciful." God will show mercy to the merciful on an ongoing basis. And sometimes in ways that we don't even see or fathom or can even imagine. I can't help but think of what I think is a classic example of this beatitude in the New Testament, when you have Cornelius in the book of Acts, who we are told was a devout man who prayed to God and gave alms. And suddenly an angel pops up and says to him, "Hey, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God." You know, you ever see memorials? They're statues that kind of remind you of things. And so that his almsgiving, his acts of mercy, were like statues that came up in front of God's eyes. And whoa. And so how did God show mercy to Cornelius? Well, he sent, through a miraculous set of circumstances, he sends Peter to him. And Peter shows Cornelius the way to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And he and his whole household were saved. So, a merciful man receiving mercy from God. It's a good illustration of it. But what is mercy? We throw that word around so much. What does it mean to be actively compassionate? Now here we go. I know this is going to sound gross and disgusting, but I don't care. Because compassion in the Greek is literally yearning bowels. Yearning bowels. And there is just no better way to explain this, to put it. Even a child understands what a yearning bowel will do. And that type of mercy comes to us as a grace from God, as He prompts us to find an outlet to express it. And God, in His mercy and wisdom, has placed many porta potties along the road of life for each and every one of us, to give us an opportunity to relieve these yearnings. And it could be in the simplest form, just giving a cup of cold water to someone on a hot day. Or it could be to the extreme of holding the hand of someone in Africa who's dying of AIDS. There is no shortage of opportunities to express compassion. No shortage. And every time we fail to respond to these God-given yearnings to express mercy, we, in a spiritual sense, mess our pants. What stinks around here? Someone messed their pants in here? Is there any one of us that can honestly say, "Not me"? Because the truth is, we've all missed our fair share of opportunities to express mercy, haven't we? But thankfully, God forgives us, and He keeps on giving us new opportunities. We sang about it this morning. God's mercies are what? New every morning. And every single day, we have new opportunities to try again, to express mercy again. Now, it seems to me that the church in America, generally speaking, and that includes us here at Living Word, is walking around in a lot of loaded diapers. And it's frightening to think, but it's true, I think, that we're all kind of getting used to the smell. We're like a mother who dresses her child to go out in a Wisconsin winter. And she finally puts that last little mitten on, and the child announces, "I gotta go to the bathroom." And before mom can get the child undressed, too late. Well, we in the Church of America have so bound ourselves up in the trappings of this world that by the time we remove them, it's too late, and we miss the opportunity to express mercy. We have the trappings of debt, personal debt and corporate debt. The Church in America is in debt up to their ears with building programs and the like. We have the trappings of busyness, too busy to stop and render aid. We have the trappings of churchianity, going through the motions, routine. We have the trappings of materialism. We have the trappings of selfishness. And we even have the trappings of self-righteousness. And all these things contribute to our messy diapers. They contribute, they prevent us from being the merciful people that God has called us to be. Jesus said in Luke 6:36, "Be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful." Could we here at Living Word at least seek to move from diapers to training pants in this area of mercy? A couple of Wednesdays ago, Casey and Jim Barge and myself met to seek to plot a future course for Living Word. And it was laid on Jim's heart to share Isaiah 58 with us as kind of a springboard for discussion. And this chapter is loaded with challenges from God to extend mercy and great promises of mercy to those who accept the challenge. As I read some of these, see if you can make the connection between extending mercy and receiving mercy from God. Beginning at verse 6 and 7. This is God's call, His challenge to us to extend mercy. "Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the straps of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Who is your own flesh? Many times the ones closest to us are denied mercy. The mercy that they need. And the sad thing about that is, we then miss the mercy that God intends for us. Here's what He promises. If we would do these things, be merciful. He says, "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.'" You rang? What does that speak of? Answered prayer. Sometimes we wonder why our prayers aren't being answered. Maybe we're withholding mercy from someone. Isaiah continues with more challenges. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, blabbing at the water cooler about someone. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then, here comes the promises, shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Oh, yes, how fortunate are the actively compassionate, for they shall receive active compassion from God. I mean, don't you want some of this? I don't know of any parent, any believing parent, who would not desire to see salvation for the next generation and the generation after that. And again, we see this logical progression in the Beatitudes. Because, what was our last one? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. So, as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you are filled, well, you know what? When you're filled, Mother Nature's going to call sooner or later. And what is mercy? Again, it's that inward righteousness granted by God, filled with inner righteousness, let loose through the outer man. That's what mercy is. I love what the Concordia Self-Study Bible Commentary said about this. They said that the life we draw from God makes us merciful. The life we draw from God makes us merciful. What is the life of God? It's righteousness. So this righteousness that we're filled with, that we draw from God, that's what makes us merciful. Extending mercy to others is meeting their physical needs. And when we do that, it is evidence that we understand our own received spiritual mercy from God. It tells God we get it. And extending mercy is a visible preaching of the gospel without using words. God has had mercy on us through His Son Jesus, and the cross is the sum of, it is the totality of mercy. And it is that mercy that God extended to us that then opened up the fountain of grace, which He continues to pour out on us, and He desires us to pour out on others in the form of mercy. One of the many great examples in Scripture illustrating mercy is the account of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, beginning at verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing. Pay attention to that. Stripped him of his clothing. We'll get back to that. Wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Must have been Pastor Matt. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Well, in this account of the Good Samaritan, unsaved humanity are the ones lying in the ditch. They're the ones whose clothes have been removed. The absence of clothing means that they've been stripped of righteousness. They lacked faith. And they were robbed, Jesus said, by robbers. Not just one robber, but robbers. Who were the robbers? The robbers were the devil, the world, and your own flesh. And the law and churchianity were no help. The priest and the Levite. But then Jesus comes along in the form of the Good Samaritan, the gospel. And he has compassion on him. He extended mercy to him and took care of his immediate need, which is forgiveness. And then made provision for the victim's further care through the 2 denarii, which represent the means of grace. It's how we are cared for as sinners. Forgiveness, the means of grace, God's word, and the sacraments. And then what was his admonition to us? We are to be like that Samaritan, purveyors of God's mercy. As true sons, we are to be like our Father. And our Father says in Jeremiah 3:12, "I am merciful," declares the Lord. Just looking up the word merciful in my concordance. I didn't even go to the mercy. There's just way too many entries to follow that all out. But just looking at merciful, I found 12 references where the mercifulness of God was not just mentioned, it was asserted. I am merciful. How can we say then that we're his children if we withhold mercy from others? If we just feel sorry for people and don't do anything about it? What if God would have just felt sorry for us but kept Jesus in heaven? And the truth is, when we withhold mercy, we're in trouble. It's not that we're saved by expressing mercy. It's again in expressing mercy that we show God that we really get it, that we have indeed received his gift of mercy, the real deal. And nowhere in Scripture is this made more plain than in Matthew chapter 18, where mercy is forever connected with forgiveness. Remember Matthew 18? That's where you send people when you have a problem with them, when there's a sin. And you go one-on-one, and then two-on-one, and three. You point out sin. It's merciful to point out sin. But you also must be ready to forgive. And that's where we pick it up in Matthew 18:21. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, deep yearning from the bowels, and released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We need to be forgiving. We need to extend mercy. And once again, we see that I'm seeing this more and more as I go into this series, more and more, the major theme of these Beatitudes, of the Sermon on the Mount, is receiving God's forgiveness and extending it to others. Nothing says, I forgive you more than, here, let me help you with that. Nothing says forgiveness more. Mercy is treating others with compassion without asking questions about their worthiness to receive it. Your treatment of them is not linked to their purity of life. And in that sense, your acts of mercy flow to them out of forgiveness because you're not holding anything against them as you yearn to help them because they are needy, not because they deserve it. Mercy, especially in the household of faith, but then it must go beyond the walls of this church. Now, again, does that mean that we overlook sin and wink at it? Of course not. I mean, that would be the most merciless thing that we could do. Jude 21 through 23 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord, that leads to eternal life. And I think what he's saying there is, keep loving God, keep as he loved you, keep loving him, and he will present opportunities to you to extend mercy that leads to eternal life. It's those porta potties along the way. Then he says, and have mercy on those who doubt. Those who are struggling with their faith, have mercy on them. And then he says, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Oh, they're pleading because they've been aware of they've been made aware of their sin. And they're saying, snatch me out of, and so you give them the gospel. And then to others, he says, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. They need the law. It's all mercy, all connected to mercy. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. God has not withheld his compassion from you or I. He didn't ask you or I if we were worthy to receive his mercy. Therefore, let us not withhold compassion from others. Let us render physical aid when and where we can. And let us lend spiritual aid as we speak the truth in love. Having tasted of the mercy of God, don't you want more? Don't you want more? I know I do. God's mercy is the greatest thing that happened to me. Why wouldn't I want more? Well, the way to get more is to believe what's being stated here by Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Amen.